monies, comparing one resource request against another resource request on allocation of those limited resources. The exec department had recommended a reduced budget from $136,000 down to $20,000+ that the vice chairman was referring to. In our appeal before the governor's appeal board, which consists of the governor and his staff and so forth, the Division of State Lands appealed the budget, as is the process. And in discussing that, in that forum of trying to identify other funds or funds that may become available, that's where the discussion came about. Maybe a transfer to an agency other than the division, which you're familiar with, which is a trust fund account and cannot use its money in support of these non-trust fund activities, that maybe another agency could more properly support it if there were general fund lacking dollars. And so the governor then recommended through the exec department that maybe the legislature should take a relook at this program and in your due process make these evaluations. We from the Division of State Lands, and I can speak for the Land Board too, are not opposed to retaining the Natural Heritage Program in our budget and in our program. What we do desire is that we receive the financial support to do a good job.
Thank you,
Senator,
very much.
Does that answer the question?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. Okay, I just would like to enter in the record a letter from the Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition in opposition to the transfer of the program to the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Also a letter from Ed Zajon, the director of the Division of State Lands, who wishes to present some testimony to the bill, and we will give him an opportunity to do that on Monday prior to our work session. We'll close the hearing then on Senate Bill 195, and we will, let's see, open the hearing on Senate Bill 405. Try to pick up the people first that were here last time and didn't get an opportunity to speak. And, I think one question I'd like to have the various witnesses try to address in their testimony, I'm sure we'll have testimony both in support and opposition to the bill, and hopefully we can, recognizing, I think, the general concern about the potential importance of recycling in the future, whether or not there are some options that we can use to address the question of recycling without causing undue problems on certain groups of individuals. So I think I think it'd be very constructive if you could think about that and maybe comment along those lines in the course of your testimony. Let's have first Michael Borg. Mr. Borg here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the sake of not repeating too much of what went on before, I believe in your packet you do have a copy of my testimony that I turned in at an earlier date. I can briefly go through it and expedite things just by answering your questions then.
What's your name again and who you represent?
My name is Michael Borg, and I am representing Oak Grove Disposal Company at this particular moment. Oak Grove Disposal Company originated about in 1941 in somewhat of the present state that it is now, in an unincorporated area of Clackamas County and some of its surrounding cities. We furnish customers with residential, commercial, and compactor and Dropbox service. In 1978, our company instituted the first phase of a recycling waste reduction program, which offered to all commercial accounts without any charge a three-time-a-week pickup of source-separated cardboard or craft products. We felt this was not only a diversion from the landfill, but the flammable product of craft paper we offered as far as the merchants were concerned, and an opportunity for them to dispose of that without creating a problem. The figures that I had quoted here in tonnage are of little significance because they have changed considerably with the market prices, but it would show you at a glance that there are several hundred tons being diverted annually from the landfill through this process. We also have entered into other phases of source-separated collection. Our particular firm has an on-call system at this time due to the resources available to us. And if a customer were to call up, we would come out and pick up, but not necessarily make a weekly or monthly route at this particular time at the household. We are anticipating rather shortly entering into that. However, the Clackamas County Refuge Disposal Association, which I happen to be president of also, has formed a recycling cooperation to help the members of its organization in the future to as a cooperative effort, so that no one person, irrespective of their size, would be have to suffer an undue hardship to supply an adequate amount of recycling service to its customers. We would encourage support and promotion from local governments for our ongoing programs, which could result in an increased participation. The Holler in Oregon City, which is a member of our association also, along with the support of our association, has concentrated its efforts with city government, county government, and the educational institution of Clackamas Community College in a recycling program. This includes curbside collection of source-separated materials and a drop center, which has served as a convenient alternative to the community. We have worked constructively with our cities and counties over the years in developing a nearly complaint-free service in our community to our customers and in our community, and we believe this bill should very clearly leave regulation at the county or at the city and county levels. We can and in fact do work with them in getting the job of solid waste collection and waste reduction recycling done. And we believe that the bill should neither direct nor encourage state government in any way to get into the collection business or the regulation of collection service. We feel that if you were to want to raise the level of recycling and require that it be provided, then please say so very clearly. We would encourage you to support the provisions that the collectors and local government work together through their local franchises to strengthen the franchise system.
Thanks very much. Are there any questions? Okay. I wasn't following verbatim on your testimony. And most of those suggestions that you just listed, are they incorporated in your written testimony?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's very helpful.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, Senator Roberts.
What do you object to in this bill?
If I may refer to Senator Day's comments of last Friday, basically in concept I have no objection at all, but to mandate at the level of the landfill or at the level of the collector I think is imposing something on us that is very difficult for us to work with. And I would think that if teeth or strength could be given to local jurisdictions to promote recycling,
well,
and we bring it back at that level.
I don't understand what the legislature could do in that respect. It seems to me that the local level, the city or county, if they're really interested in doing this, could work with you to make this bill work on that local level if they want to do that.
I am not prepared, and I think later on in some testimony, our state association attorney would address the legalities of the franchise, which may help that question in your mind, Senator.
Well, I guess that the local area can do a franchise now if they want to. So they're
but maybe there is some fear as to reprisals from that, and maybe the state could eliminate some of those fears.
Senator Cohen?
Okay. Yeah, I think the issue that we're really all searching for is to mandate at the household level, what can we do to do that? I mean, I'm not interested in mandating. You're the person who can't really accomplish that. But there are some things we need, you know, to get to the mandate at the household level. I'm told that people in your business do not want us to mandate at the household level either. And I guess I want to know, we run up against that same kind of thing. Even the local jurisdiction, if the people who are in the business do not want mandates at the household level, either the state or the local government won't be able to accomplish what we're all trying to do. So how do you...
Well, then I would have to throw it back to you in that why single the hauler out to be mandated?
I'm not. I just say if we mandate the issue in terms of source separation, I'm wanting to hear from you the objection to that and how that and why your people would not be in support of that or don't. I mean, I know that Rossmann's has done a good job of trying to encourage that effort, and I know that it has not been successful because we haven't gotten the cooperation of householders, some household people, to do that. And so I don't believe that what we've done to date has reached those people. So I want to know from you...
Well, there are some ongoing cooperative efforts to enter into the educational field.
I don't think the educational field does it.
That's one area that we are working on from the hauler standpoint,
okay.
Going into the schools, similar to how the firemen go in with their preventive fire prevention programs. And I think you will hear some more testimony on that line from some others here today. I'm sorry I can't give you a direct answer. I don't have a direct answer for that question, mm-hmm. Senator.
Thank you.
Senator Day.
Let's try it another way.
Okay.
If we were to establish a franchise system, once and for all, and as part of that franchise system, we determine as a matter of state policy in the next 2-3 years that jurisdictions would at least establish segregation or a method of segregating those materials. Would you support that?
Yes. In concept, yes.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wayne Virgil?
My name is Wayne Virrell.
Sure looks like a V, sorry.
No problem. I'm Wayne Virrell.
I run two garbage companies in Portland, Oregon. And a little bit of my background. I've been in the business for over 16 years. I'm a third-generation hauler. I first got involved in recycling as a 13-year-old kid of pulling rags, metal, and bottles out of the garbage as my father threw it into the truck. My present routes are in a combination of 70% residential and 30% commercial. I have been providing recycling for the last 7 years through the group effort of Southeast Recycling, which is now known as PROS Incorporated. We have been providing curbside recycling for that length of time with newspaper collection off the can once a week. Cans, bottles, aluminum, waste oil, and some corrugated off the residential for that same period. We started out in a cardboard collection system through the group, and on a daily basis we had regulated runs for commercial cardboard collection. The fluctuations of the markets, the cost of operation finally just brought the operation to a halt. Scavenging was another one of our problems. The problem with the bill as the way it's written, the concept is good, but I think it's got too much police action in it, police state action. It basically throws us in the position of policemen. And there's been talk of mandating at the customer level. That in turn would still put us in policeman's position.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Sir Robert.
Where's the policeman function for you in this?
Okay, let me get to that. Number one, I've got to go out and notify all my customers that they've got to recycle.
Yeah.
Which I've already done. Okay, well, presently,
then you've already
by
done
notifying
that. That wasn't police action when you did it, was it?
Pardon me, no. No, this bill, the way this bill was written.
Just says you have to notify people.
It says that I have to notify them. It says that I have to provide the service. And if I don't, and if I am providing it and I'm not recycling for some reason or other, I am not allowed to dump.
Well, it just says you have to pick up the things that are put out for recycling and you have to put them... you have to deal with it or put them in a recycling spot provided by the...
Right. I have to instruct the people.
Well, I was wondering what you were talking about in terms of you being a policeman.
Well, this is what I was... I got a little ahead of myself here.
Go ahead.
But, the stages that I got, that I set down here for, as I stated, the personal notice and education of providing that collection service to the residential as well as commercial commercial customers, and this is the level that I'm getting at, is that commercial collection of cardboard is a very serious problem due to the fact that the fluctuations of the market and the scavenging and cost of operation. If I don't collect it because I'm unable to, for cost factors, and nobody else is able to collect it because there's no market for it, or lack of market for it, the end result is that I will not be able to dump my load. So, mandating something, either at my level or at the state's level, if this is how far this bill goes, it still puts me in a position that I have to tell my customers that thou shalt. And if they will not, I cannot dump.
No, that's absolutely not so under this bill. I think you're misreading it. It doesn't say, and this, of course, is what Senator Cohen was referring to. It does not say that any source has to recycle. It just says that you have to give an opportunity to. That's all it says. If they do recycle, it is true that you then have to handle... I mean, if they do separate at source, then you have to handle that
recycled material.
Okay, now...
But it doesn't say you have to force anybody to do it.
Okay, I don't have to force them.
Right.
Not unless it's mandated, like I say.
Under this law, it does not...
Does not mandate,
yeah.
Mandate, right.
Well, don't read something in the law.
Okay, well, we got carried off here on this mandating thing of the first testimony.
Yeah,
okay. To where I get to the point of who am I going to get a certificate that states that I am offering recycling to everybody, to all my commercial customers? Who is going to give me an affidavit, or who is going to give me something that I can go to a landfill and say, here is my...
Under the provisions of the law, you have to satisfy the landfill operator that you're doing it.
Right. Okay, I offer the service, nobody responds, I go to the landfill, he says, where's your certificate? Where's your instructions to allow you through my gates to land, or to the end of the landfill to dump?
That's a particular provision of the bill, then, that you think ought to be tightened up so it's clear how you can demonstrate that you have met, that you have provided, as the bill calls it, quote, opportunity to recycle. You want
right.
some more specific way that can be demonstrated. Is that right?
Yes, and I think at a state level, I think it's pretty near impossible. I don't think any regulation on a state level could take care of this situation. So therefore, I go into the fact that
I think you have to recognize that you've got a possible procedure here, because obviously it is the state which would issue the permit to the disposal site, and in doing that, the state could specify how that permittee could determine whether or not the haulers were meeting their requirements. I think you're talking about a technicality here which can obviously be taken care of, and if you have a problem there, we ought to see what it is, but it's no problem to do it. The state right now is the one that issues the permit to all over the state to the sites.
Right, but under a franchise system, under a local government, and this is where I believe all this recycling should be taken care of, and all the permits and ordinances issued, that I think within a local jurisdiction, as opposed to a state regulatory thing, I think we're getting at a little bit more of a viable and more acceptable situation.
Well, this bill could easily do that. It could just say that every jurisdiction must franchise, and it must provide for recycling in the franchise, but the state would still be in exactly the same situation of saying what was meant by recycling, or the dictate to recycle wouldn't mean anything. And that's about all this bill does, is to define recycling.
We're both in agreement that this bill is very vague, and it's...
Well, I don't find it vague.
You haven't
indicated to me the point at which it's vague.
Well, number 10 under section 7, it doesn't compute.
You mean subsection 10 there on page 3?
Yes, right.
Yeah, I think that should be spelled out more specifically, because that provides for an economic test of what is recyclable material. And I believe, and that is going to vary from one place to another and vary in time. I think that there should be a mechanism, and we're talking now about lines 19 and 20 on page 3. I think that there has to be, and I've already suggested to the proponents of this bill, that there should be a specific mechanism there which would provide for a definite way to determine what was recyclable,
mm-hmm.
and to provide for a variation in that, so that the situation that you're talking about, okay. when you can no longer afford to pick up recyclable material because of the market, it was intended under the definition of this bill that would no longer be recyclable. You wouldn't have to pick it up then, because there is an economic test in here. But I think the mechanism for determining some sort of a standard to determine from time to time what is recyclable material has to be written into the law. That's a place that is definitely vague.
Okay.
I agree with you there.
This is where I was heading at first.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Chairman, it would be very hard to assume that individual haulers from week to week or month to month would be able to demonstrate, no, this is not recyclable material because I can't economically handle it. And there isn't the economic test here. And then to have somebody come to him and say, hey, you're violating the law, and then to have you argue, no, I'm not violating the law because it's not economical for me to handle it, and therefore it's not defined as recyclable material. I think that is one of the hang-ups in this particular bill.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
I believe, Senator, we discussed last time the possibility of having DEQ draw up rules that would address the fact that geographically and over time...
Well, my argument, my feeling is that that ought to be written into the law, that specific requirement there for rules and some sort of guidelines as to how those rules be established and how often they could be changed to reflect changing economic conditions. That's my feeling anyway, with reference to that particular section.
Thank you.
I might add, Mr. Chairman, I think in the light of the testimony that's been given, I believe that there may be real foundation here for, under Section 5, for being more explicit about requiring that DEQ provide instructions or guidelines or rules by which the permittee can determine whether or not a particular hauler has met the requirements of this law, so that you have some clear guidelines to go by and you don't develop them by hit and miss or legal action or something.
Ralph Luton?
I am Ralph Luton, and I own and operate Ralph Luton Sanitary Service in the city of Portland. I've been in the garbage business for 12 years. I have combined recycling on my route along with garbage collection for the past 4 years. I am part owner and active member of PROS, Portland Recycling and Refuse Operators. PROS is a fully recognized recycling company in the Tri-County of Portland. There are a few questions I would like to ask the Senate about Bill 405 because I'm concerned about the bill and affect my garbage and recycling business. Will the passage of this bill create more costly government in the areas of DEQ and Metro than I am now paying? Second, on page 3, line 19 and 20 of this bill, it states that recyclable materials means any materials that can be separated and sold with no more cost involved than would already occur. My question is, who is going to determine these costs? Third, how does Senate Bill 405 intend for the people involved to give notice to their customers that recycling is available and preferred, and will the cost of this advertising procedure be included in the above-mentioned cost analysis? And that's what I have to say.
I appreciate that, spelling it out like this. What we're trying to do is, I think there's been general agreement that, you know, recycling is a worthwhile goal. And what we're trying to do is sort of get an opportunity for everyone to express the various viewpoints on approaching this problem and work up various types of amendments to this legislation. We'll be probably having a work session in about 2 weeks on this, and we'll provide an opportunity between now and then to try to get the various parties together to see if we can work out something. But this is very helpful. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any questions? I'm probably going to do injustice to someone's name again. James Trier?
Tryon.
Tryon. That's an N.
Mr. Chairman and Senators, I'm Jim Tryon. I speak today as both a private citizen and a member of Families for Responsible Government. I'm going to be very brief. I think maybe I have a few points that will be helpful to your committee. Families for Responsible Government opposes either burying or burning our resources, any resources that is that can be recovered and reused economically. And we believe that the word economy is probably the key to those things which may need to be adjusted in this bill. The problem there may lie, however, in that economic may mean one thing to one person and another thing to another person. As a layman, I've spent a lot of time in research of garbage. Living here in Marion County, as many of you know, we have quite a garbage controversy going on. And I've found that garbage isn't all that simple. In fact, it isn't even garbage anymore, it's solid waste.
On increases is not as easy as you may think it is. And I'm talking even in franchised areas. It is very, very difficult.
I'm saying if the alternative to not recycling were to pay a horrendous fee, mm-hmm. if the garbage cans in my own backyard were mixed and not recycled, I'd have to be willing to ante up the fee that I'm currently paying the hauler.
Okay.
Right?
May I interrupt mm-hmm. here? In a franchised area, that might very well work. In an unfranchised area such as Portland, if I said to you, I'm going to charge you $10 if you're not going to source separate that mm-hmm. and recycle it, mm-hmm. you could say, well, gee, I think I'll go talk to him. He said he'd mm-hmm. do it for $5.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's an open ball game in an unfranchised area. Does that help you?
But if the fee were put at the dumping site itself, if every one of your competitors also had to pay.
What says they have to go to that dump site?
Well, that's the key. That's the tough question.
Yes, okay.
And one other item that I might suggest there is that if we do present that to the customer, he a lot of times will say, okay, forget it, and you will find it on 205 or some back street. Which I'm sure you're, you know, quite familiar with.
Or in
with.
Some industrial container.
Because, you know, they do have a reason for this, and they do not give us time. They say, I want it out now, mm-hmm. please.
But did we hear that same rationale when we looked at the bottle bill of individuals saying that, no, I don't want to pay the 5 or 15 cents more per bottle, and instead, you know, they're not going to bring them back, we're going to find them on the roadsides, et cetera.
Well, but mm-hmm. that in that case, they could return the bottle to get their deposit
right.
back. In
right.
this case, they're not going to get anything back for that recyclable material other than having it hauled away.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than pay to have it hauled away, it's very convenient to dump it off in the Safeway container
oh,
or
I
the...
I realize that.
Yes. That seems to be a part of the problem, where they have an alternative of disposing of it in an unpoliced action, then they would rather take that out rather than pay for it.
And, I've tracked dumps like that myself and forged through them until I could find some identification.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. then you understand that yeah. the dump
yes,
is
you
alike.
Do.
I'm done. Sorry, John.
Hey, Robert. Well, I think one of the problems we have to face is the question of the extent to which a hauler can police what's in there, because if you have some items that are recyclable and some are, you can't be sifting through there to see, and you can't very well go to the homeowner and say, I won't take your stuff today because
yes.
I found a bottle in there that should have been recycled. That's one of the problems.
Yes.
But I wanted to get at the question that I think that you, it seemed to me that you were raising, which relates to this on page 2, line 7 and 8, the liability, in effect, of somebody if they should deposit, allow a deposit of separated recyclable. And it seems to me one of the problems here is, I thought that what this was referring to, let's say at the source, there has been a separation made. Mm-hmm. But then the hauler takes it and throws it all together. After the homeowner is separated, the hauler takes it all together and dumps it in. And I suppose how you would establish whether or not there had been a recyclable at source, how you would establish that at the other end is the problem. Because right. I think what you're talking about in terms of the owner of the home, the rental home, let's say, that wants everything taken, he just says take it all out. And how you determine whether he did really separate or whether he just said take it all and you get stuck with that, I think is another one of those problems that has to be defined.
Well, I think on page 3, Senator, 36 and 37, probably relates to that same thing then that I was going to bring up, which is source separated. Separate means that the person who last uses recycled material separates the recyclable material from solid waste. Now, if a man walks into a yard and dumps the garbage can like he's supposed to do, he is the last person handling this material.
What line are you referring to?
I'm referring to line 36 and 37 on page 3, number 14.
Oh, page 3, okay.
That probably would fall in that same category.
I think we're basically talking about definitions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is
there's a lot of what I what I'm trying to
thing in a bill like this, and you can really help us by you have helped us by identifying specific problem.
Well, what I'm trying to do is, Senator, is that I think this needs work, and I was very happy to hear that you want to work on this bill and go through it. So that is really all I have. All I can say is that, you know, in the non-franchised areas like we are in Portland, we have been able to recently establish, we are in a working relationship now, hopefully with establishing something there in Portland. We will know in the future, in the near future. But we really need to establish our local jurisdictions. They have to be the ones to mandate, or not mandate this, but put it into effect, we feel.
I have
Sir, how would you feel about the scenario if we were to look at major areas of the state and decide that we're franchise system, mandated franchise system, because there is also, you haven't brought it up yet, but there is a question of basically where you stand in the Portland area versus the antitrust provisions, and if you had a franchise system, it would better protect you, I think, as I understand the proposition. But let's say we were going into a franchise system, and as part of that franchise system, we mandated a method for recycling over a period of time, allowing local government to come to grips with it, and producing, as Senator Roberts has suggested, a fair rate of return to you. Would you support that thrust, is basically, and would it be on the right end of the thrust to take care of it? In other words, a fair rate of return, we do this in utilities. We give utilities a monopoly, okay? But we regulate them. We say, look, you're going to have a fair rate of return, and recently it's been a little more than what we would like to see it, but it would at least say that if your certain mandated recycling efforts are made at the consumer level, at the household level, that you're entitled as a hauler to a fair rate of return in order to participate in that with your franchise. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think we can all use a fair rate of return. I feel that that with that package, we would have to get, I think you'd have to take one step at a time. You'd have to have the franchise first. See how it's working, and then take the next step. It's just like a baby. You know, we've been in the recycling business for a long time, and all of a sudden it's blossomed. And I feel that the PROS corporation has the best thing going. I might be a little prejudiced in that fact, but, you know, I've been into it ever since it's been conceived. And you have to walk before you can run, and we have to take one step at a time.
Well, I understand your concern there, but you see, the Virgin Mary isn't floating on franchises. There are many municipalities, including the city I come from right here in Salem, has a franchise system, and it's worked relatively well. The next issue is if you have the franchise system and your investment has some protection because of that,
right.
You then give you a fair rate of return if we determine at the consumer level or at the household level that we indeed intend to start to see the separation of this in a method, and you're entitled to a fair rate of return if you have to haul it. That's my point.
I would say it would work, yes.
And we're already doing that without a franchise, you know. So I think that we're just...
But to tell me you got to crawl before you walk in a franchise system, I think it's, you know, I think it's pretty evident how it works.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been at it for many, many years. We've been forward three times or so.
I think Portland needs some help on that.
Yes, I agree.
I would like to issue one invitation, and that's if any of you would like to see what the PROS recycling program is all about, come on out. We'd be glad to take you out and show you how the people source separate it, what kind of participation we get from the people as you drive down the block and you stop at three houses, maybe four, when there are maybe 10 houses on that block. And it's a real eye-opener, and anybody who would like to participate, just let us know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mary Ann Rombach?
Yeah, well, this is a problem of...
Did he pronounce that correctly?
He did it just right.
We're practicing.
What? Hey, you're getting better.
And you're probably the first one, and nobody says it right. That's okay. I'm Mary Ann Rombach. I don't even say it right. And I represent the League of Women Voters, Natural Resource Chair. And I submitted testimony, copies of my testimony. And since we were charged with just alternatives and the meat of the question, I was just here today to support Senate Bill 405. And I kind of underlined a couple of things to even reduce the testimony further, that I feel that the recycling issue is an alternative for us, and that and I heard some comments about keeping it at the local level, and we really feel that the state needs to facilitate the system for the disposal facilities, and so I think that that's an important point, and that we feel that recycling should be a priority item, and we're really interested in the public education and the incentives that would go along with that, and that that by educating the citizens and providing a convenient way, I've heard that it doesn't sound very convenient for the haulers, but I think that we can work out a system that can be convenient for everybody involved in it, and that it can be economical. And so I urge you to continue the work on this bill, and I think that we can come out with a good recycling bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Hurd.
Well, I'd like to point out a question on line 12, page 1, that maybe the staff could mind, and we should flag it, and the people that are working on this can maybe give this some thought. City has a population of more than 5,000 people. I recognize that's only one part of a section. But I was thinking like City of Kaiser before they had their incorporation vote. Highly concentrated urban area. City of Klamath Falls, which has a south suburban area that is larger than the city itself, that is as concentrated in terms of population as any part of the city. And there might be other sections of Oregon in similar situation. And it seems to me like maybe as we work on the bill, that's something we should keep in mind.
Mr. Chairman?
Saturday?
You've heard some of the theory, and I'd like to see our staff put together a look at a franchise effort with some fair rate of return for the haulers, where we speak to recycling, where we actually speak to segregation and recycling, and see how best they could bring it together. And because Portland is probably one of the classics where they have not come to grips with this franchise question. It's been controversial up there off and on, but it would help a lot to get the haulers in a situation where they could start to deal with this, I think. Now, that's my own personal bias, and I know something about it. I've had the politics of garbage for 15 years.
Even if we developed it in a staged entry along that line, say if in the beginning they, you know, just get a certification to operate, and then you begin to do the work out the territorial details as time goes on, and set some time frame down the line. I think they can't. People can't even talk about the dividing or dealing with territory without coming under antitrust unless they've given some real direction.
That's right.
Or some timelines and some legal options to deal with. So, you know, I talked to a few people just as a matter of fact out in the hall. Was one of the suggestions that came up that if you want to, rather than just mandate
franchise, there'd have to be a time
schedule.
You can
begin to look at it, and as long as Senator Day talked about it, we could incorporate some of those.
Well, really, I think it's really interesting here in terms of this bill on page 5, which says that they can't franchise unless they do provide for recycling.
Yeah.
And you want to go one step and say, and you shall franchise.
Well, I think it goes. I'd like
to reserve the rest of this for the work session.
Okay.
I got a few more people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you were finished. Excuse me.
You didn't want to hear our testimony?
Carl Miller?
Yeah, you're interested in our point of view.
Well, I hear it.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Ad nauseum.
You can only keep us sitting here.
Well, you keep right. yourself sitting here.
Mr. Chairman and Senators, my name is Carl Miller. I represent Miller Sanitary Service of Portland. And those people you've heard up to now have had all the experience from all these years and everything else. They're neophytes. My company's been in business since 1905. A family name that's in there, and there's two more generations coming. So
coming?
We've been in the garbage business.
Two more coming?
No, there's kid, boys from the age of 3 to 12. So we've got people come. But anyway, we've been in the this business from the very beginning in a form of saying that we have been recycling. Dad and Grandpa even used horse and wagons. In those days, they saved the bottles and even the whiskey bottles that the rum runners, so to speak, had a value.
Could you just pardon me a minute, please? Mr.
Flats.
Carl, why don't you get to the point? How do you like the bill? And if you don't like the bill,
I was going to say I'm going to deviate from what I was going to tell you.
All right.
And I'm going to go to a point where I'm saying that the industry has been doing a lot of recycling in the last few years, and Washington County is a good example of it. You see this decal, and originally there was 90,000 of those put out in Washington County. And to date, there's about 270,000 of those decals have been put out. If you'll read it, the reason we put it in this form, and incidentally, I was the one that made up this decal, it's a gentle reminder every single time you go to the garbage can.
You put that,
that service,
the garbage can.
Place it right on the lid, and that service is available to you. And I'm saying that the operators, as they are hauling the customers today, have rapport with their customers because they are servicing the people. They're going into every single backyard. We can leave information. We can contact them with their bill or anything else. I think the bill addresses several things that need to be addressed. I say we need to recycle. The method in which we do it is another story. I'm glad that you were talking about the economics of it. At what point in time does it become economical? When is it feasible? Energy recovered versus energy expended. Do you recycle when it's not feasible? Do you subsidize and increase the price of hauling? We can go along those lines, and it can be franchised or unfranchised. If it's franchised and you're expecting the hauler to go out there one more time a month, that makes 5 weeks, or in some of them, 6 times in a month that you go around your whole route and put out the equipment and the manpower to do this stuff. You need to get some return for it. And the history of in the past has been that the markets have not supported the wages to do that. Another company and my company had gone together, besides this recycling program we use on the cans, and this is weekly, We have opened a drop center in a very close area, a very, very thickly populated area. The center itself, you'd be surprised what people think is recyclable. If there's not an attendant there, you end up with
Mr. Norris,
just straight garbage.
Comments towards the bill.
Okay.
I want to try to...
Okay.
facilitate the process here a little bit.
I think in that line, we do need to go along with some of the things that you have identified and work sessions about the problems that the bill will cause that you haven't, I mean, you haven't envisioned yet that the operators see every day in the field. I do believe that you'd need that work session to work together with them to formulate the policy that you need to do. You can mandate all you want, but that customer, if he doesn't want to put it out there, he's not going to do it. And if you say you're going to give him a big charge for it, he stops the service. And like you heard, they take it down the road away, or they find the nearest container. To increase the prices doesn't necessarily mean you're going to pay your bills. I operate, or my company operates, in a franchised area, so I'm in an unfranchised area. And believe me, I don't think there's very many businesses that operate on 66% of their accounts being current, 33-some percent being delinquent or behind in their payments.
Well, it's,
the economy is bad.
It is our intention to, as I said, allow the various parties to express their views here today, and then we are going to try to get them all together in a room and see if we can work out something.
I would hope that we have that opportunity of working with you to work out some kind of a bill that would. I think the bill is really, in my envisionment, is in a concept stage right now. You need to address all of these things, put them together, and come up with a workable solution. And I think that can be best done in the local governments, because they have control of the people in their area. They have somebody to work with. And the costs and the prices and things that are needed in one area are much different. The man over here is 2 miles from a landfill, and the other guy over here is 20 miles.
We will give you that opportunity.
Okay. Thank you.
Jerry Herman?
In order to save resources, I only brought a few brochures, so I'll just pass those. That was not my intent. I really neglected. I'm sorry. Pass them to the chairman. Mr. Chairman, fellow senators, thank you for the opportunity to come here today and speak on behalf of the bill. We at the John Inskeep Environmental Learning Center in Oregon City do support the intents and the overall objectives of Senate Bill 405. I'd like to give you a little bit of background about our program. We have been involved in recycling a lot of things for at least a few years, certainly not as many years as some of the haulers here, but we've been involved for the last 7 years in taking a former industrial site, reclaiming it, making it into a productive area for the studies of animals and plants, also energy conservation measures in an educational atmosphere. We serve about 12,000 students from local elementary and secondary schools throughout the course of a year, as well as the college population as well. Our main objective from the very beginning was to site a recycling facility on our site that can not only have the capability to accept materials from the general public, but also be able to educate them to the needs of recycling. And we have just been able to complete that goal. In November of this year, we opened up a facility, partially sponsored through the funds of the Metropolitan Service District. This facility was opened and now has served close to 3,000 people since that time, and is, by the way, succeeding in making funds, generating income for our program. To begin with, we feel that the bill in particular, the integrity of the bill, is the important thing to protect. That in particular, at this time, Section 8, if you look at it on page 4, tends to give a real priority structure to how solid waste should be handled throughout this great state of ours, the state of Oregon. And at this time, I think, is probably one of the first times that really reuse of materials, direct reuse, direct reduction of waste, and the third priority being the recycling of materials. This is the first time that recycling has really had a chance to be identified as a mechanism and given priority to succeed. The fourth, of course, priority includes the recovery of energy from materials that cannot be readily recycled. Whatever the case, just as in the Northwest Power Planning Act, conservation was first given the chance that it could succeed. Conservation now is succeeding. That was a federally mandated bill, of course, which was...
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. There's no chairman. The state of Oregon was ahead of that.
Is that right? I'm sorry.
Long before the Northwest Power Bill came along.
That struck me too, Joyce.
I just had to correct you about that.
Thank you for correcting me.
And I was a citizen type lobbyist at that point in time, supporting those efforts, and so I'm not putting you down. Okay. I'm just saying, because of people like you and the senators who were sitting here who listened at that point in time, Oregon was much farther ahead than the Northwest Power
people. The point that I was trying to make, though, that is that conservation does now have a chance to succeed, energy conservation in the state of Oregon. And similarly, this bill gives recycling the capability, the priority within policies of the state that it could succeed. And we feel that the integrity of the bill is important to keep in mind, and that the state is, in fact, the proper level to set the policies for how solid waste is handled on a statewide basis. We feel in particular that the aggressive conservation efforts that have taken place in energy and the resultant reductions in the need to provide additional load growth and probably rate structures that might not have grown so quickly because of the conservation efforts in energy can also possibly become available through recycling. And that in the age of finite resources that all of us face from now on into the future, that we can't afford to be simply squandering resources, that the time is now and right to begin a concentrated effort to recover these materials, reuse them wherever possible, but give them a chance within the priority schedule to be recovered through recycling. So that is our reason for supporting the bill. We would also like to invite you, it sounds like you might want to take a tour, since some other areas have invited you to come take a look at our facility. The thing I would like to point out is that our depot has been constructed to work in cooperation with a local hauler, a private sector hauler, in an atmosphere at an educational institution. We are a nonprofit organization working in cooperation with a college in developing the site, also working in developing a Clackamas County Recycling Task Force, which recently received countywide recognition as a body to make and produce recommendations on recycling. So I think what we're trying to do in our particular facility is bring all the parties together for once that could have been polarized, that may have been polarized, a chance to work cooperatively together on this particular area of interest in recycling. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to have more trouble with this name again. Greg DiModico? Is that close? Is that even a near miss?
His name's supposed to be on the list.
Well, his name is written down on the list, so.
It's almost wrote for me.
All right. All right. Gary Pullman?
Have you been out to this game?
My name's Gary Pullman. I'm always hoping that I don't get called because I'm afraid to do this. Representing myself, I'm the owner of Packrat Recycling. We've been operating for about 5 years now, and I've been recycling since I can remember. Now I'm involved in the economics of the situation, and I find myself dealing in these pennies rather than the dollars and tons. I was going to say, just to keep it short, to go through this, I was just reading over the bill, and section by section, I've got a good, sooner, good, okay. And then when I get to into section 7, I think that the definition of recycling material needs more work, and the on 14, the source separation, needs it. That's a rough definition too. And then on page 4, first line, as what constitutes waste, whose definition would that be as far as useless or discarded materials, or what do you mean by that? Otherwise, I'm in agreement with everything that's down here as far as I can tell. I have a couple of ideas, I guess. One would be, as far as industrial recycling doesn't seem to be addressed in this bill at all. the possibility of having providing opportunities to recycle at all dumpsters. And then I think there's a lot of different ways to recycle that are going to provide jobs and are not going to take anything away as far as the haulers are concerned. For instance, if we're working on a block-by-block recycling program, we'll call it BURP, here in Salem, we would like to go around the block, collect all the recycling materials from each house, or in a case, all of the materials with a low energy type of vehicle, such as a cart or something, bring those to one place on a block. Hopefully they'd already be separated, and at that point then a hauler could come, rather than to have to stop at every house, could make one stop per block or one stop per neighborhood. And I guess that's all I've got to say.
Thank you very much. Sue Moore?
Mr. Chairman, here you go. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Suzanne Moore, and I'm here representing Oregonians for Clean Air. I was going to keep my testimony short because I was going to introduce some other people, but they've already spoken, but I'll still keep it short. Oregonians for Clean Air does support this bill. It's a good start. We'd like to see more aggressive recycling programs going on. So that's basically the thrust of my testimony.
Thank you very much on both on your testimony and the length of your testimony. Thank you.
She lives in my district. She knows how to do it.
She's learned that, huh?
Yeah.
Good afternoon. Having been on the other side as a staff person, I recognize that it'd be more prudent of me to make it short. Metro supports Senate Bill 405. They don't think it's necessarily the most elegant solution to it, but we can make it work. We're working on it. There's a good body of folks from all interests in the solid waste industry that's been meeting fairly regularly. They still meet, and when it comes time for work session, we think we'll have something worked out. This is not to say there aren't other ways of doing it, but you can make things work a lot of different ways. The other point to make was that as you're out visiting all these places you've been invited to go to, Rick Gustafson, who would have been here today to give this testimony, was up at the CTRC, the Clackamas Transfer Station and Recycling Center. We're prepared to open it on the 11th, and he was showing the staff and other interested folks through today, and he extends the invitation.